1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This is the one whose life itself is revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. If we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence in this room and in our lives. You are the only omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. We are dependent upon you. For apart from you, we can do nothing. We're united in the truth that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the resurrected Christ. And because we are in Christ, we share that authority in order to make disciples and to take captive free. We humbly ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit and to lead us into all truth. Our prayer is for your complete protection, and we ask for your guidance. In this moment of silence, we confess our sin, and we acknowledge the areas in our life that are not pleasing to you. Hear our confessions. Dear Jesus, we claim your spiritual cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ, whom we confess to be our Lord and our Savior. Extend your gracious forgiveness to each, that we may become, or we may become before you with a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Keep the truth ever before us. May we know that to obey is better than to sacrifice. Help us to be obedient to you in all things. Send your spirit. Grant that we may serve you by serving others. We claim our spiritual authority from one who is seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we receive your forgiveness. Our hearts are full of gratitude to you for forgiveness and for mercy. Your gifts are wonderful, and we are grateful to you for leading us to them and to you. May all believers everywhere repent and cry out to you, our Father, for forgiveness, for mercy, and for restoration. Because you cleanse, we can confidently approach the throne of grace, and we can pray for our church, our community, ourselves, and our worship. Receive all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you pray with me now? Father, we sing. As we sing, may our weekly singing call members to biblically confess, lament, and praise. Be with those who will lead us in worship. Be near to those who will sing or play instruments. Grant in all things that we may seek to serve you. May songs be selected that will bring glory and honor to your name. May they lead us in singing songs that celebrate the beauty of the Savior and sing of your wonders, your glory, your triumphs, your holiness, your majesty, and your great gospel. Would you help all who attend the weekly services discover the joy of being a true worshiper as those who worship you in spirit and in truth? Remind us that the gathering of your people to worship is something you have ordained for us. Remind us that worship is about you. It is for you. It is a gift we bring to you It is a holy and sacred time. Help us to take the Lord today seriously. Prepare each of our hearts, even now, for what you will say to us then. Grant that we may not come before you as frauds, standing in your presence, filled with unconfessed sin. Give us the strength and wisdom to reconcile ourselves to our brothers and sisters before we come before you in worship. Give us discerning hearts that we may see and confess our sin before you. Open our eyes to see and to know you in a new way. Help us to worship you, not only with our lips, but with our hearts, our souls, and all that we are. Accept the gift of worship we will bring to you. May it please you. Let everything that has breath in this place praise the Lord together. May our worship be a sweet and fragrant offering to you. Accept it, Lord, though I know it is poor and imperfect. Accept it through your grace. Generous God, raise up givers among us. May our financial contributions be faithful, joyful, consistent, and sacrificial. Search each heart. Challenge our generosity. Help us live by faith when it comes to our finances and give us the courage to know our provisions are true and dependable when we are give freely and joyfully. Our Holy Spirit, send your presence. Come to us with power and with great freedom. These things are humbly asked in the name that is above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we may be expectant and observant and seeking answers to these prayers, so hearts and minds may praise you for your goodness. Amen.
Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 through 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic your name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky, and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. What are people that you should think about them, mere mortals that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and with honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all of the wild animals, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean's currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Would you join me in reading Psalm 100, 1 through 5? Let's read it together. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Let this be our prayer. We pray for your protection over our police, fire, constable, sheriff, and other civil servants, and ask for strength for their families. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells Christians to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked with godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. So, Lord, we intercede for President Obama, Representative Olson, Senators Cruz and Cornyn, Governor Abbott, Mayor Turner, and Judge Emmett, as well as candidates Clinton and Trump. May each one have a steadfast vision so their feet be firmly planted on the foundations of equality and justice, and that each will ignore the party line and focus on the needs of the people. In authentic humility, help each government official to know leadership is servanthood with influence. I pray that people in the spotlight of governing will humble themselves and realize their great need for a power higher than themselves. In incorruptible integrity, may they live above reproach and not bowing to lobbyists and the super PACs who get them elected and backroom deals to keep them in office. May they turn to you for guidance. Lead them into a godly governance, a holistic perspective to see the big picture. Increase their wisdom to focus on the long-term flourishing of the people they represent. May each decision they make be guided by two questions. Would God the Father approve? And is this for the good of the people? Lord, I pray that the congregation of East Haven and all churches be stirred more by their hope of heaven than political processes.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remember the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time, you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that no one, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, this morning we ask you to prepare our hearts for you first, and then for the people we will encounter today. May we see them for who they are. May we understand there are things in their life we do not know about and they may have no control over. May we love them as you love them. Give us a heart of grace as we interact. May we be the salt and light of the gospel to them. For our church, we would pray to have unity amid diversity, loving those with whom we have nothing in common but the gospel. We pray for peace and unity while we gather together. We ask that there will be mercy and understanding. We ask that there will be a great outpouring of your Spirit. We ask that you will bless us for the sake of the glory of your great name. Grant every person a hunger for studying and living the gospel so that they can guide and guard one another and become appealing to skeptical South Belt community and the world. Give us grace to develop transparent, meaningful relationships so that it would become normal to welcome and embrace others. Help our church become distinct from the world in love and holiness as it engages the South Belt community. Develop in us a love for the people and the cultures that circle our church. Amen.
Dear Lord, develop in us a culture of discipling, where making disciples is viewed as an ordinary part of the Christian life. Develop in us a heart of discipleship. May each one here welcome accountability, leadership, and godly obedience. Guide adult members to constantly minister and disciple and love children and teenagers and not just leave it to others or to programming. Commute us of talents, gifts, and abilities that are idle in your kingdom use. We pray for motivation to get involved in kingdom building and a dedication to consistency to see it through. May we as members be motivated to share the gospel this week and see more conversions. Bless our church's outreach this week through the words we speak, the love we show, and the help we give to others. Bless the proclamation of your gospel both by the words we speak and by the life we live. In your goodness, bring many to repentance. Direct our conversations and help each of us to be bold in sharing the good news of Christ with others. Let each person set the example and use all of our church family in outreach this week. Grant us courage to tell our personal story and share your gospel with everyday people in life. Fill our days with non-believers and work through our obedience as your witness that they might be convicted by the Holy Spirit and move to repentance.
May God guide us in this prayer. Thank you for our diversity, that I would ask that more members would use their careers and cultures to take gospel to the place it's never been. Help each member be ambassador to our Christ in their workplaces this week. That each member would remain above reproach, keep the temptation, complacency, idols, and worldliness. For those who are leaders here at East Haven, that we would use scripture to train members to do their work in ministry. Be with the men and women who will be teaching this week and those who are responsible for hospitality, greetings, ushering, those who will work in the sound booths, and those who will minister to our precious children and youth. Even now, Lord, please fill all of these people afresh with spirit. I thank you for the servant heart you have given to them. I ask that you will allow them to be a blessing to many this week. Each of those who do not yet know you, may the service run smoothly, and may your hand be evidence in all transpirance. May your love truly flow among us. May each of us be sensitive to the need of others. May I do my part bringing passion to the ministry among my church and my kingdom. Anoint the preachers and the teaching of God's word, and that it would be biblically careful and Holy Spirit structured. Fill us when the word is taught. Give each one a hunger for our thoughts, preaching, and teaching. Keep the desire from falsely delivering the entertainment in our church in check. Strengthen each member to be prepared for prosecution. Remember to love, not curse the prosecutor. May they know that it is filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. May all of us at our church live in the power and this glory always. Protect us from the devil's lies and help us to never be bored by the wonderful doctrine of grace. Grant the doctrine of grace be the joy and delight of our hearts. Open our eyes, Lord. Allow us to see how you your glorious gospel affects each and every area of our life. May we know what it is to sit under the preaching of the word, both in worship and small groups. Speak to us, speak to us in assembly, that our heart may never be the same, because our heart desires you and you alone. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 18. Don't forget that you used to be outsiders. You were called unworthy heathens by others, who were proud of how they cleaned themselves up for worship, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among his people. You did not know the covenant promise God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united disagreeable people into one people when in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between disagreeing people by creating himself one new people from the two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to those who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Paul tells us, as he writes to the church at Ephesians, that we were outsiders. Paul tells us that our hearts were unchanging and unchangeable. Paul tells us that we were not united in vision or purpose or direction. Paul tells us that without Christ, we are outside the confines of hope. But he tells the church at Ephesus that Christ changed all that. There's no longer the people of God and the outsiders. There's no longer the Jews and everybody else. Jesus Christ brings to everyone an equality. And that the gospel that Jesus Christ offers is a gospel that is for everybody. Regardless of race or creed or socioeconomic status or background, the gospel is for everybody. He reconciled our differences so that we might have the hope that is offered. He changed us from being an outsider to being an heir with him and to our Heavenly Father. He took away our hearts of stone and he gave us a heart of flesh. He did not make us a people that are without hope, but he said, in me there is all hope. But as Peter Parker's uncle once told him, with great power comes great responsibility. Because Christ has done some things for us, and because we have been willing recipients of the blood of Jesus Christ for the confession and forgiveness of our sin, we have a great power. We have the power to have our sins forgiven, but more importantly, we have a power to share that story that other people's sins can be forgiven as well. And it is with that sense that we have a great responsibility to not only enjoy the fact that we know him, but to help others enjoy the fact that they can know him too. We are responsible for being the salt and light of Christ. We are responsible for bearing the good news. We are responsible for being able to offer the lifeline that he offers. Let me ask you a question. Is there a sacrifice you're willing to make for the gospel? Is there a change you are willing to make in your life so that you can be a better steward and be better responsible with the hope that is within you? We have hope that we must offer. You say, Pastor Kevin, I want to be Christ's ambassador. I want to represent him and I want to represent him well, but I have sin in my life. And I would tell you that you're always going to have sin in your life. There are two types of people in the world. There are those who have sin in their life and those who have sins forgiven in their life. Because of Christ, you have the ability to have those sins forgiven. You are not ever going to be a perfect ambassador. You are not ever going to be a perfect representative. But we're asked to take up that challenge nonetheless. We are asked to provide a foundation of support so that others might know that the gospel is real. And so that you can no longer have to live as an outsider, but that you can belong to the family of God. That you can live in the light of Christ. That you don't have to be in captivity. That old hard heart that we have, that heart of stone, can be turned to a heart of pliable flesh where the Holy Spirit works and changes and gives us encouragement for today and a hope for tomorrow. We do not have to live outside the confines of hope. We do not have to live outside the confines of conflict and disunity. For Paul says that in Christ there is unity, even though we're vastly different. He brought this good news. Jesus brought this good news of peace to those who are far away from Him. What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go? What sacrifice are you willing to make? What change in your life are you willing to make so that you can be a better giver of the gospel? One of the members of Cademan's call had a family member who tells the story out of her hometown on the Mississippi River in the state of Missouri. In 2007, there was great flooding from all kinds of different reasons. They'd have heavy snowfall. They'd have had heavy spring rain. The Mississippi was bulging at the seams. And any time, as you know, whenever there's high water around, kids like to go out and frolic in the water and play, splash. And even though we tell them, stay out of the water, they still seem to find a way in it. A couple of brothers who lived in a neighborhood that was adjacent to the levee there on the Mississippi River decided they were going to go play in some of the puddles and some of the waters in and around the levee. When they got there, they noticed that even though the Mississippi was filled to the brim, it had not breached the levee yet, but they noticed there was a little waterfall coming over the side of the levee. And so they thought that would be a fun place to play. And so they went to begin playing in this little waterfall that was trickling out of the side of the levee. And what they didn't know is that the grass and the turf and the tundra that was there had only allowed that little trickle to begin to flow. But in and around and underneath the surface, the soil had been swirling and eroding for a long period of time. And just below the surface of the grass, it was more like quicksand and less like running water. The brothers didn't know this was happening. And as they approached the little waterfall that they were hoping to play in, both brothers began to get stuck in the muck and the thick, heavy, sand, quicksand-like mud, the silt, that was swirling just underneath the surface. And as the brothers began to sink, they began to cry out, "Somebody help us, please, somebody help us." Their cry was heard. The fire department and the rescue team was called. And the rescue team came out to try to save the boys. When the firemen got there and when they got the lifeline hooked around the youngest brother, who had sunk up to just above his waist, they began to ask, "Where's your brother? Where's your brother? Has he flown, slid downstream? What has happened?" The little boy simply replied to the fireman, "I'm standing on his shoulders." Rarely are we going to be asked to sacrifice our life in such a way. But we are indeed to make the gospel, asked to make the gospel a priority. And the beautiful part about that is we can stand on the shoulders of the one who already made the sacrifice. We might feel like we're drowning in quicksand. We might feel like we are waist deep in the muck. But we can stand on the shoulders of the one who sacrificed for us. Unfortunately, we know so many people in and around where we live and where we work and where we play that are going under. They don't have the gospel. They don't have the hope that we have. They are outsiders. The Bible says they are in captivity and they're drowning in the silt of the terrible culture of this world. We can be salt for them. We can be light for them. We can be the lifeline for them. The song asks us a question that has to be answered. Today, will you choose to follow Him? Today, will you choose to give your yes to Him. You see, there is no other name above the name of Jesus. And we stand on His shoulders because He gave His life so that we could do that. He gave His life so that we can be His voice to a world that is without hope, to a world that is with hearts of stone, to a world that is not heirs with the gospel and the God that we know and that we have. Would you choose today to follow Him? Would you choose today to live for your Savior and glorify His name?
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about how you can apply this week's message to your life, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember, as you go, to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.